At 20 minutes past 7, it's a warm welcome to the Bold Heart Initiative. Sarah Swainson is in the house and with a very special guest. Bronwyn Rowley is Bowley. Bronwyn Bowley. How's Bronwyn Rowley? Hey, man. Oh, hang on a sec. What's happened? I've got to give you a microphone. There we go.
I do actually have relatives who are Rowleys.
Really? So Rowley Bowley. That's a nice name. Bronwyn, you know, gosh, I haven't seen you for an awfully long time.
Yes.
But we go back many years to the beginning of the Sangweni Tourism building and your first foray into the world of
marketing.
Excitement and,
yes.
Yeah, and joy. And it was a lovely, lovely time. You've obviously done lots since then, but Sarah is here to introduce you on a completely different level.
Mm. So good morning, everyone. So it's the Monday morning, trying to bring a bit of cheer to everybody in the Bold Heart segment. Most of the news is quite dark, so let's hopefully add a bit of light. And so the Bold Heart segment is really about inspiring people to do things they didn't think were possible. And often we don't do something because we are too intimidated or scared or don't think we're good enough. And so I've brought a special guest in, Bron. And Bron is amazing. She's done like big stuff. She's a trail runner. She's a road runner from Sani Stanga to 10K. She even at one of the races didn't have a pair of shoes. So she trotted off and got a pair of tackies from
Mr. Price.
Not
Mr. Price Sport, Mr. Price.
And just went and ran. She rides bikes. She paddles river, sea, and dam. She's done the Freedom Challenge in the surf ski world. She's done a triathlon. So if you hear all of that, you would think Bron has no things to overcome. She's just been able to do all of this. But actually behind the story, there's a really in-depth look at a person who's shown great resilience. And so, Bron, take us back to the beginning. Did you always live this actively? And take us back. You've experienced quite a lot of difficulty with a degenerative spine
condition. Yes.
So take us back.
I always active? No, Sarah, I was head library monitor. And I was the girl that ran the tuck shop because I was just so bad at sport. And I had to be involved, so that's how I got involved with the school activities. But I was so clumsy. They didn't understand why. I broke my left ankle multiple times when I did try to do the high jump. And so I just assumed I wasn't sporty. And when I was about 26, I was diagnosed with congenital scoliosis. So they said, you're built like the letter S. That's why you can't do any sport. And so it just got progressively worse. By 33, I was living in chronic pain. I was pretty much immobile. And scoliosis develops other secondary issues. So I developed what they call lumbar spondylolisthesis and thoracic spinal stenosis. So you're very, very, very immobile. You're living with good days and bad days because pain is on a spectrum. And the last thing in the world that I could do was do anything actively. And it's one of those old cases of you don't know what you've lost until it's gone. And I remember bargaining with the universe in my mid-30s and said, if you can give it to me back, I'll do everything. And so I had my first back up at 40, my second one at 44, because it's incremental. It's not a magic wand. They can't fix you all at once. And the last back up at 46 gave me back about 75% of my functionality. And as soon as the docs gave me the green light and the bios, I went in and bought myself a mountain bike. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about mountain biking. I just said, show me the cheapest bike in your shop. And I bought that one. And I thought mountain biking was going to be it. It turns out I'm not very talented. And it's kind of evolved into trail running and surf ski paddling, because surf ski paddling is quite low impact. So,
and when you're staying in the boat.
And I stay in the boat. And it just took off from there, and suddenly I was doing everything, and if there was a race that came up, I found myself putting my hand up. And so I have accumulated all of these feats, if you will. And no, I'm not an athlete, hey? And I'm usually at the back of the pack, if not stone last.
So,
wow.
So it's like you've overcome like quite a big thing. It's not a small thing, actually. And it's really incredible. Have there been days where you've just felt discouraged, and how have you gotten over those?
You have a tendency, because yes, as I said, stone last. And for instance, I'll use the example of my triathlon. I finally did a triathlon. All I wanted to do was a triathlon. And I did what they call the tadpole version. So I'm still very frightened of the sea. So I did it at Carcluff, and we swam in a dam, and then we mountain biked a trail, and then we did a trail run, and that was the tadpole version. 450 meters, 12 kilometers, and then 5 kilometers run. And I was stone last. There was 21 people. I came 20th, and the 21st person did not finish. So, and everyone had left. There aren't any photos of me from that race because the photographer had left. So, yes, you could be very discouraged and go, well, why am I bothering? Because someone has to come last, Dave. Someone has to come last.
I'm quite familiar with that position.
And also, you have a tendency to compare yourself. You know, you look at a runner and you think, well, if I can't do Comrades, what's the point? And if I can't do Freedom Paddle 27 kilometers around the island with an experienced paddler, then why am I bothering? And because it's your own personal journey. So I try not to compare myself to other athletes. And then also you have to look around your environment. South Africa, we are so blessed with one of the most beautiful countries in the world. So where was I running? I was running in Carcluff. It was so beautiful. I was in some farmer's dam. I was on some trail that they normally don't open up to for mountain bikers and for the trail runners. So I love where I'm competing, and I love that I'm competing, if you will, against myself. And so I am perfectly happy to come stone last.
But you clearly are also competing against pain. How do you cope?
Well, I must say the back surgeries have helped tremendously with the pain, because pain is on a spectrum. So when I was at my worst, I'd say that it was like a 9 or 10 out of 10, and then you can't do anything. You really can't do anything. Right now I'm at about a 2 or a 3. So yes, there is still a certain amount of back pain, and with spinal issues, it tends not to just be in your back, it's referral pain. So you feel pain in your legs, you feel numbness in your legs. I also feel pain in my shoulder, down my arm, numbness in my fingers. But right now I'm at a 2 or 3, so I'm pretty good.
And when you are running or paddling or whatever, does that increase the pain or does it decrease the pain?
The more high impact a sport, the worse it's going to be. So right now I'm at a place where I can't actually run for long distances because it's too high impact and my body can't absorb that trauma. So I do very fast little walks.
She walks faster than most people can run.
Wow.
So I did Absa Run Your City, and I think I had a pretty good walking pace. And
you have a very good walking pace.
And then the surf ski paddling, of course, is low impact because you're in a boat and you're paddling. The only problem there is that particular sport relies so much on rotation. It's all about rotation. And I'm completely fused.
So your spine is fused?
My spine is fused. Mm. So while everyone else is rotating, and that is where they're getting their power in the sea, I'm dragging myself along with my arms. So it's I do work with SAS, the South African Surf Ski Association. So my coach, long-suffering Greg Vocht, has to put up with me.
Oh, Greg!
And wow. But I've managed there as well. Yeah. I enter competitions where he thinks it's safe and where I'm able to, and I hope to continue paddling.
Well, you're an inspiration, and I'm in awe of anyone that is big enough to look at life with the challenges that present themselves and say, you know, this is the journey we're on. We've got these issues, but we're not going to let them get us down. Mm. Let's go. And much more so, I'm much more impressed by that than with the able-bodied soul that takes up some kind of new hobby. And I think that's a... it's a lesson to all of us that that no matter how difficult it seems to be, you can if you want to, if you apply yourself. My final question, if I may, is why, when you're clearly physically constrained or were, why did you want to then push your body rather than your mind or something that didn't involve causing you further damage?
Oh, you're right there, Greg. I'm quite the bookworm. But I wanted to do more. And, you know, we are by nature social beings.
Yeah.
And if you get out there and live actively, which is what the OA's motto is, you meet people. And suddenly you're not alone anymore, because having some sort of a condition, a debilitating condition, it doesn't have to be your back. There's lots of conditions out there. You become very, very, very isolated. Mm. And loneliness is a horrible thing.
It's the biggest problem in the 21st century. With all the connectivity around us on devices and go to a mall and you're surrounded. Look at us now.
You can be connected.
People are more lonely today than have ever been in history.
And you can be connected to everything but still be so alone. And so I knew that by getting out there and living actively, I was going to be able to meet people. And that has become probably one of the single biggest rewards, if you will, is, you know, I have my trail running buddies, I have my mountain biking buddies, my surf ski buddies, there's the OA, there's the strength training buddies. So it's really opened up a world to me that I didn't have previously. So I'm not giving it up for all the tea in China.
Last question for me, but what would you say to somebody who might be sitting there and what would the advice that you would give, or a single thought or something?
I think if you have a condition, it becomes your whole life. It becomes bigger than you, and you become, especially when you're trying to manage it, you start thinking, I don't want to make it worse, and I don't want to cause myself any undue pain. So I need to make myself as delicate as possible, which means leading a sedentary lifestyle. And also, you often find that the doctors and the bios and the physios and the chiropractors say to you, you need to do some sort of exercise. So in your mind, it becomes this horrible chore or punishment. Mm. So you've got this bad mindset from the start. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be awful. So, of course, it's like the diet. I'll put it off until next month. It isn't a punishment. It isn't a chore. You do have to start somewhere, and when you do, it becomes a gift. So I'm a great one on starting. Start on Wednesday. Don't start on Monday. I was 47 years old, and I hadn't ridden a bike since I was 10. I hadn't run. I hadn't swum. I hadn't paddled. I wasn't a spring chicken, and I'm the happiest I've ever been.
Wow. Mm. That's, I think, the big takeaway.
There we go.
The happiest you've ever been. And that's all we can strive for. Eh? You've got to look at it that way. Life is really a gift if you take it.
Absolutely.
If you choose to take it. If you choose not to, of course, that's your prerogative. But how sad.
So that's the Wild Hog segment for today.
Wow. Inspiring. Bronwyn Bowley and Sarah Swainson. Gee, lovely way to start the week. Thank you so much for sharing that on a Monday morning on The Morning Show.
Thanks, Bron.
This will be up as a podcast.
Pleasure.
If you missed some of it, don't worry. You can listen to it again on Catch Up. And we will catch up with Sarah and the Bold Heart Initiative in a week's time.
There we go.
On The Morning
Thanks
Show.
Thanks so much.